Well, today is a wonderful day. It's Communion Sunday. And you know, as I was thinking about communion, what happened and why we have communion, what happened there on Calvary, I was reminded, you know, the story about Peter denying Christ. And let's turn there, Luke chapter 22, starting verse 54. And I'm reading this morning from the New Living Translation. I've been reading a lot from that translation, you know, kind of get a modern day version of what's going on. And so I just want to read this, and you know, many of us know the story, but I want to go ahead and read it for those of you who do not know the story. It says, "So they arrested him, that being Jesus, and led him to the high priest's home, and Peter followed at a distance. The guards lit a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat around it, and Peter joined them there. A servant girl noticed him in the firelight and began staring at him. Finally, she said, 'This man was one of Jesus' followers.' But Peter denied it. 'Woman,' he said, 'I don't even know him.' After a while, someone else looked at him and said, 'You must be one of them.' 'No, man, I'm not,' Peter retorted. About an hour later, someone else insisted, 'This must be one of them because he is a Galilean too.' But Peter said, 'Man, I do not know what you are talking about.' And immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And at that moment, the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Suddenly, the Lord's word flashed through Peter's mind. 'Before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you will deny me three times that you even know me.' And Peter left the courtyard weeping bitterly." Now, to put this in 2016 language that you can understand, that when Peter was asked three times if he knew Jesus, if he was one of Jesus' followers, he said, "I do not recall. I do not recall that man. I do not know that man." And then later on, after the rooster crowed, suddenly he realized, at that moment, he had short-circuited and said, you know, that he didn't recall Jesus, but did remember it about Jesus, that he did know Jesus and felt bad about it. Now, obviously, we know that Peter just flat-out lied. He knew Jesus. He was one of his disciples, and everyone here probably knows that he was one of his disciples if you don't read your Bible. All right, he just lied because he didn't want anything to happen to him, you know, and you know, he just lied. But you know, sometimes I wonder if the disciples really did know who Jesus was and know what he was capable of doing and what he had done. Because if we turn back to Luke chapter 8, the 8th chapter of Luke, we see the story about the winds and the wave. It says, Luke 8:22 says, "One day Jesus said to his disciples, 'Let's cross to the other side of the lake.' So they got into a boat and started out, and they sailed across. Jesus settled down for a nap, but soon a fierce storm came down on the lake. The boat was filling with water, and they were in real danger. The disciples went and woke him, shouting, 'Master, Master, we're going to drown.' When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and the raging waves. Suddenly the storm stopped and all was calm. Then he asked him, 'Where is your faith?' The disciples were terrified and amazed. 'Who is this man?' they asked each other. 'When he gives a command, even the wind and the waves obey him.'" So even though his disciples who were with him, whenever he performed miracles, they were shocked and amazed that the winds and the waves, you know, obeyed him. See, here's the deal is we have to know who Jesus is. We have to know what Jesus has done. And we shouldn't deny him, but we should enact what he's done for us on Calvary. Now, you know, you think back that day that other people must have forgot what Jesus did, because you know, everywhere that Jesus went, multitudes followed him. So many people all followed him, And you know, people who needed miracles, they came to Jesus. Did they not? All right, you know, I'm going to make sure you read the Bible. And so they came to Jesus. But you know, it was very interesting. So when they arrested Jesus, and Pilate came to the crowd and said, hey, this Jesus, he hasn't really done anything wrong. What should we do? Should we let him go? And they said, no, crucify him. Crucify him. Well, these were the same multitudes that surrounded Jesus. What'd they do? Did they suddenly forget who Jesus was? Did they suddenly just all of a sudden not know? You know, surely you would think somebody would speak up and said, you know, no, he's a good man. But they said, crucify him. And they said, well, you know, I got to release somebody. Who, you know, let me release Jesus. And they said, no, release Barabbas, the murderer. Crucify Jesus. So obviously, they must have not known who Jesus really was or what they were really doing. And of course, back in Luke 23, turn with me a few more pages back, Luke 23. And I'm actually going to, I told them I was going to read from verse 40, but I'm going to read from verse 32. Verse 32, Luke chapter 23 from the New Living Translation, it says, two others, both criminals, were led out to be executed with him. When they came to a place called the Skull, they nailed him to a cross, and the criminals were also crucified, one on his right, one on his left. Jesus said, after he had heard the crowd say, crucify him, after people have mocked him and different things, he says, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. And it says, and the soldiers gambled for his clothes by throwing dice. And then they continued to mock Jesus. They didn't know what they were doing. They didn't know who he really was. They didn't have a clue. But even though that they were mocking Jesus, Jesus, in love, was saying, forgive him. Because that's how Jesus is. He loves you no matter what. No matter that you've denied him, no matter that you forgot about him, no matter that you, you know, kind of did your own thing and went your own way, Jesus still loves you. Now, what's interesting is the only person that seemed to know Jesus that day was a criminal. In verse 40, it says, but let's skip down to 39. We'll start at 39. It says, one of the criminals hanging beside him scoffed him. So you're the Messiah, are you? Prove it by saving yourself and us too. So you want to make sure he included himself. Don't just save you, but save us. You and us. Save us too while you're at it. But the other criminal protested, don't you fear God? Even when you have been sentenced to die, we deserve to die for our crimes, but this man hasn't done anything wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus replied, I assure you today, you will be with me in paradise. You know, it's interesting because, you know, the only person that seemed to know who Jesus really was and the power he really possessed was a criminal that didn't deserve to be in paradise. But when you come to Jesus, no matter how late in the day it is, no matter how bad your life was, no matter how many times you messed up, no matter how many times that you denied him, no matter how many times that you forgot who he really was, when you come to Jesus, Jesus will forgive you for your sins. Will set you clean and give you a place forever in that great kingdom up above. You know, it's just so amazing that everybody else that day didn't know Jesus. But this one man did. This one man, the man who shouldn't really get anything. I mean, he said, we deserve to die. You know, what's interesting to me is not this. It's the fact after Jesus said that, I'm going to remember you. You know, why wouldn't the other criminals say, you know what, Jesus, I'm sorry. Remember me too. He had a chance because you know what? Jesus would have remembered him too if he would have just asked. But I believe that, you know, in the day and age that we live in, sometimes whenever we start facing situations, we forget the power in the name of Jesus. We forget what happened there on Calvary. We forget, you know, what Jesus said whenever, you know, he gave us the commands, you know, just trust in me. We forget about Jesus. You know, but sometimes that we need to start renewing our mind. You know, we think about renewing our mind only whenever we've messed up, whenever we've sinned, you know, to renew our mind, or when we're thinking wrong thoughts. But you know what? When we forget about Jesus, start renewing your mind. Because there are many times that I've seen many Christians forget about Jesus. You know, when things start to happen and it looks everything's caving in, instead of coming to Jesus, they get depressed. See, there's no way to be depressed if you're remembering Jesus. When situations start looking bad and you know, everything is falling apart, the first words out of their mouth is like, what am I going to do? Now see, as a born again Christian, you should know what to do. You turn to Christ. You trust in God. You lean not to your own understanding. But for some reason that we short circuit, we have a malfunction in our brain and we forget about Jesus. We forget about his power. We forget about his love. We forget. Sometimes, see, what happens is that we think, well, I would come to Jesus to have him help me, but I've been so bad. I've made so many mistakes. Well, you know what? Like I said, I just read, here's a man. He spent his whole life making mistakes. But in the end, he made up for it. I don't care how many mistakes you've made. I don't care what you've done wrong. Jesus still has come for you. And he came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. But what happens is the reason that we forget about who Jesus is because the devil tries to tell us who the devil thinks he is. He tries to tell us that there's no way you're going to make it. He tries to tell us that you're going down. He tries to tell us that it's the end. He tries to tell us that we're not good enough. But I said, once again, we have to renew our mind. We have to think about what Jesus says, that we are good enough. We are worthy. And it's all because of Calvary. It's all because what he did. He came for the whole world. And that's one thing that I want each and every one of us to always remember, that Jesus came and he died for the world. He didn't come and die for Christians. He came and he died for the whole world. You know, and I'm glad that we understand what happened, but you know what? There's a bunch of people who don't. Bunch of people that are lost, or there's some people that are confused. At one time they knew him, but then they forgot about him. But I tell you what, you know, we need to remember Jesus today. If you'll remember Jesus, he'll remember you. You know, you need to somewhere in your brain remember what Jesus done. You know, what's more amazing is I've seen people where Jesus has healed them or taken care of a situation for them, and 5 or 6 years later, they go through the same kind of situation and they forget what they did 5 or 6 years ago. They forget how good Jesus was for them. They forget what he did. If they, you know, That's going back to the Old Testament. It says, forget not all his benefits. They forgot about all the benefits. Take advantage of what Jesus did on Calvary. Take advantage of all the benefits. Take advantage of the healing that was taking place by him taking the stripes on his back. You know, Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, if any of you know this, is my mom's favorite scripture. He quoted to me a lot, especially whenever I told him, would tell my mom that we can't do that. The New Living Translation says it this way. It says, Philippians 4:13 says, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Now notice, many people kind of take it, well, I can do everything because I'm a Christian. No, it doesn't. It says, I can do everything because I know Christ and I know who he is. And he's the one that gives me the strength, that gives me the power, it gives me the ability, it gives me the thoughts. Gives me the ideas. See, you have to know your Christ. You can't forget about him. You have to know who he is. You have to remember how good he is. And you have to understand that through Christ, there's nothing you cannot do. Once again, I said a few weeks ago that nothing means no thing. There is no thing that you cannot accomplish through Jesus Christ. And if that don't make you shout, I don't know who you are. I said that any time, any situation ever comes to you or your family, you can get through it through Jesus Christ. Not only will you get through it, you'll get through it victorious through Jesus Christ. Because see, you know somebody. It's not about who you are. It's about who you are in Christ. It's about knowing who you are. Don't be like Peter and forget about who you are. Don't be like the other folks that were there and forget about what Jesus did for them. But be like the thief. Hey, I know who you are. Remember me. All we have to do is ask. All we have to do is ask, and he's going to do it for us. Every time. I mean, it says, for I can do everything. Everything means everything. But once again, how many times have you seen people? We've all been there ourselves or seen somebody else when they're facing a situation they can't see the forest for the trees. I mean, they can't see Jesus because everything is going wrong. And they're not thinking about that they can do everything through Christ. They're thinking about, what am I going to do? Or they're having a pity party. I'm not making fun of anybody, but you know, we've all done it. We've all had pity parties. We've all gone into depression. What am I going to do? How am I going to do? How am I going to overcome it? It's through Christ Jesus. That's how. It's by remembering who Christ is, remembering what he's done, and taking advantage of what he's done. You know, taking advantage of what he's done is not taking advantage of Jesus, because he freely gave it to you. You realize that's the whole purpose he came? Was so you could make it? That's the whole purpose that Jesus came, was to help you make it through life. Like I said, he told us in John 10:10, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He came so you can have an abundant life. He didn't come so you can have a crummy life. If your life is crummy, it's because you don't know who Jesus is. You don't know his purpose. His purpose was to give you life, a good life. That's his purpose. Take advantage of why he came. Take every advantage. Now, a few scriptures down here is Philippians 4:19 says a real similar situation. And this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his riches, from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. When you're going through financial issues, understand that God's riches have already been given to you through Christ. So what do you do? In the name of Jesus, I thank you for some of those riches. I thank you that you're taking care of this problem. I thank you that you're on the case. And like I always say, quit trying to do it yourself. Quit trying to say, what am I going to do? And let him do it for you. That's why we have the verse, cast all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. So what is, your cares mean is whatever's burdening you down, whatever's making it bad for you, whatever's giving you problems, just give it to God. Say, you know what, God, I can't handle this anymore. You take care of him, please. Now, is that hard? But I guess it's a lot easier to start crying and complaining and yelling at your spouse or your friends and tell them it's all their fault. Or is this easier to go dig yourself into a hole and cry and complain and be depressed? No, it's a whole lot easier to say, God, I'm tired of caring. So I just don't want to care anymore. Here, you care for me. You know, why don't you give God the ultimate care package? Here's everything I've been burdened down, everything I've been caring about. You take it, God. Do you realize once you give God your cares and you can't care anymore? So if you're caring about your cares, then God's not. That's the quickest way to know whether you've given to God or not. You know, if we have one of these cast all your cares upon the altar service, and you go home, and you start wondering what you're going to do about this situation, then you didn't cast your care on the altar, you took it home with you. In life, you have to not care anymore. I mean, you know, basically they're saying good Christians don't care. Now, I mean, I'm not saying we don't care about people. We do care about people. All right, but you don't have to care about your cares. Because we have God. Because of what Jesus did on Calvary. It's all through Jesus. Jesus opened the door for us not to care. It's in his name. Because of Jesus. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 4, verse number 4. I'm sure most of you know what it says. I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation. It says it this way. He says, but you belong to God, my dear children. Now, I know that shouldn't be a revelation, but you know what? If you're a Christian, you belong to God. Now remember this, I mean, we have another verse that says, the things that are impossible to man are possible with God. With God. See, here's the deal. Yeah, with God all things are possible. Here's the deal, you're with God. You need to remember that, you know, whenever the devil is trying to say, you know, what about this? They say, well, I'm with him. I mean, you know, we've all probably been there in a situation, you know, we're a place where you probably shouldn't be, but we were with him. We were somebody else that should be there. Well, you know what? You're always with him. He's always with you. You're always with God. And with God, all things are possible. So why are you worried about impossible situations? Because you're with him. It's because you don't know what Jesus did. Is that you don't know the power. Or you maybe you did know, but you forgot. You kind of, your brain went blitzed out or something like that. You short-circuited. You didn't recall. You don't know. See, that's what the devil does. The devil will try to short-circuit your life. He'll try to tell you lies. He's a father of lies. He'll lie to you. Try to tell you, hey, there's no way. You're not going to make it. No, I'm with him. With him, I can make it. See, you have to know who you're with. You have to know who's in your boat. You know, if the disciples would have known who was in their boat, then they wouldn't have had to worry, because, you know, when Jesus said, let's go to the other side, he already knew that waves and when the wind was coming. And I believe he purposely told them out loud, told them, these guys, we're going to the other side. So they knew that we're going to the other side no matter what. And then he says, guys, I'm taking a nap. I'm tired. I've been working. And then when he woke up, I mean, one of the few times in the Bible we see Jesus kind of mad. What are you doing waking me up? Taking a nap. Why can't you handle this? Where is your faith? But you know what? That's what Jesus is asking you today. Where's your faith? Why can't you handle this? Because you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. You can make it. You can go to the other side. You can be victorious if you know who you're with, if you know who's with you. You know, I mean, just a scripture, I mean, just a word will preach says, if you belong to God, my dear children, you've already won a victory. You have already won a victory. See, people are trying to win a battle that's already been won. The battle was won 2,000 years ago when Jesus Christ said, it's finished. And he went down and won your battle. He took away the keys and gave them to you. And it's up to you. All right, Dad has a book out there. It's your move. Many people are waiting on Jesus to do something, and Jesus already done something 2,000 years ago. He took care of your situation. You have already become victorious. And the thing about it is that most born-again Christians, they read enough Bible to even know that. But they forget. They have a mind lapse. The devil tries to tell them a lie. Quit letting the devil lie to you. Renew your mind. Remember Jesus. Remember what he's done. Remember his benefits. And remember you're with him. And he's with you. He says he'll never leave you nor forsake you. You realize wherever you go, Jesus is also with you. He's always in your boat. He's always with you. Every situation you'll ever face, I don't care how bad it ever gets. I don't care, you know, when you're at the worst situation possible, he's right there with you. Ready, willing, and able to help you every single time. It says, but you belong to God, my dear children. You have already won a victory over those people, because the Spirit who lives in you is greater than the Spirit who lives in the world. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Understand that Christ in you. Christ in you has won the victory. Remember what Christ has done. And remember he's with you and you're with him. And everywhere you go, every situation you face, you're with him. He's with you. When it looks bad, you're with him. He's with you. When it looks impossible, you're with him. He's with you. When it looks like there is no way, you're with him. He's with you. Understand who he is. Understand what he did. Understand that the victory has already been won. He's not going to win the victory again. It's already been won. But the devil's going to try to tell you what he's going to try to do to you. But we have the name of Jesus. And at that name, demons will tremble. You understand the word demons will tremble? Do you understand that means bad, Bad people falls apart when they hear the name of Jesus. Bad situations fall apart when they hear the name of Jesus. Use the name of Jesus. At that name. Because that's the name that's with you. So start being a name dropper. Jesus, he's with me. Remember Jesus? He's with me. I'm with Jesus. You know what he did, right? You know he's already took care of this problem, right? And he's with me and I'm with him. You realize everywhere that Jesus goes, he's always plus one. You know, that's you. You're always a part of his party. You're always with him. He's always with you. Understand, if he's always with you, you're always with him. But sometimes you forget about him when you're looking at problems. See, you're forgetting who he is. You're forgetting what he's done, just like the people there that day. Don't forget about Jesus. He doesn't forget about you. Don't forget about what he's done. Don't forget about he's already won the victory. You know, if you want to forget about somebody, forget about the devil. Because once Jesus defeated the devil, then you might as well forget about him. Because he has no power and no authority over you if you know who you are in Christ. If you know that who's on the inside of you. If you know that on the inside of you. See, it's not about you being greater. It's about the one on the inside that's greater. And you have to understand, it's not about anything you've ever done or anything you'll ever do. It's not about what you've done. It's not about what you've not done. So it's not about whether you messed up or didn't mess up. It's about Jesus Christ. It's not about if you've made your life a mess. It's about Jesus Christ. He's always with you. He'll never leave you. Every time a bad thing's happened, Jesus is still with you. He's looking out for you. He cares about you. He loves you. And he wants to help you. I want to leave you guys off today with John chapter 14. John, the 14th chapter, starting with the 12th verse, reading from the New Living Translation once again. This is Jesus talking. He says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me, notice he says anyone. He didn't say my disciples. He didn't say you preachers. He didn't say, you elect few that I have chosen. You know, these are the same people who move mountains too, by the way. Because in that verse, he said, whoever, whosoever. You know, when Jesus was talking, he was talking to everybody. He says, but I tell you the truth, anyone, any person who believes in me will do the same works that I have done and even greater works. Now, I want you to think about that. The man who was speaking was also the man that fed 5,000. He was the man who walked on the water. He was the man who turned water into wine. He was the man that performed many miracles and healings. But he also was the man that loved everybody. And he says, I tell you the truth. If you believe in me, the things that I have done, all the miracles that I've done, and greater things shall you do. Greater things. Why? Because I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm with you everywhere you go. See, Jesus is still alive and he's with you. The same Jesus that did all those miraculous things, he's with you. So what small miracle do you need him to perform for you? What do you need him to take care of? And he says, right here, says, greater works because I'm going to be with the Father. You can ask for anything. Anything means anything. Anything that you need, you can ask. How do you ask? In my name. How do you do that? I need this in the name of Jesus. That's how you do it. In the name of Jesus, this situation is taken care of. That's how you ask. It's not that hard. Anyone here can do it. Anyone. If you know who's with you. If you know that he's with you and helping you and he's in your boat. He says anything in my name. You can ask for anything in my name and I will do it. Whatever you ask in his name, he's going to do it for you. Now, when people repeat themselves, they really mean it. So what Jesus did say? He says, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. So why are you sitting around trying to figure out what to do? That's my question. Why do we go through depression? Why are we? The reason we do is because of the devil. The only reason that we forget about his benefits, the only reason that we forget about who he is and what he's done is because the devil tries to pound in our head. We're not good enough. We're not worthy. But Jesus is saying, forget about the devil. Remember me. And if you remember that I'm with you and you're with me, ask me whatever you need in my name, and I'm going to do it. I just want to remind you that ask me whatever you need in my name, and I'm going to do it. So what does that mean? Can someone tell me? It means whatever you need, just ask. Just ask. Just ask. But you know what? What's so awesome is when you ask, he's going to do it. Now notice when you ask, you're not going to do it. See, that's the reason that people have what they call a lack of faith, because they're like, well, how am I going to do it? You're not. See, that's what happens is when people are facing a situation, they're trying to figure out, well, ask the Lord, now how am I going to do it? You're not going to do anything. You're going to let him do it. Now, by letting him do it, he might give you ideas. He might give you, you know, tell you how to do it. He might send people across your path to do it for you. I don't know how he's going to do it. You know what? I don't tell him how to do it. I figure if there's anyone who's a know-it-all, it's not me. I'm not the know-it-all. He is. He knows how he's going to do it. I don't. It's not my obligation to tell him how to do it. It's my obligation to give him my cares and my problems, my situations and my trials and my tribulations and say, here's my mess. Now take care of it, please. Man, I've done a lot of bad things here. Take care of it, Jesus. You know, he's ready, willing and able at any point in time to take care of your problems. In fact, he already has done it. He's already took care of your problems. All you need to do is say, hey, here's my problems. Okay. I'll do it. But I have more problems. Okay. I'll fix them. You realize that Jesus is the person of okay. I got it. You know, people like people who are confident. You know, that's why we have great ball players. I mean, many of you, you know, well, people who are my age might remember Michael Jordan. You know, in the end of the game, he wanted the ball. And he had confidence that he was going to do it. He was going to take care of it. Well, I tell you what, Jesus is bigger than any Michael Jordan or any other athlete. And he don't just have confidence, he's already done it. He's already taken care of it. And this table is a reminder that Jesus took care of it. It's already been taken care of. All you got to do is mind them. Just tell them, I've taken care of it. Just tell them you're with me. Just tell everybody you know, I'm with him. I'm with Jesus. I'm with him. And he's taking care of it. He's paid the price for me. I don't have to pay. It's free. I mean, it means you can even afford it. It's free. So don't be like the people there that day on that hill and forgetting about it, forgetting about what Jesus has done. But be like the sinner, the thief. Remember Jesus. Every time you face a situation, a trial, a tribulation, remember Jesus is with you. Remember he's with you, you're with him, and you're getting through. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for each and every person that's here and watching us online. And we thank you, Father, that you do love them so much. And we thank you, Father, that you care about them. And we thank you, Father, that just bring to our remembrance this message the next time we're facing a situation we don't know what to do. Help us remember that Jesus is with us and he's already won the battle for us and that we've been victorious through Christ Jesus. Help us to understand that all we have to do is ask. All we have to do is cast our cares. All we have to do is just say, you know what? Jesus, take care of this and you'll do it for us. Father, we just thank you that each and every one of us will remember those things and these words whenever we're going through those situations. But Father God, we thank you that today is, as we're here, that if anyone is here and does not know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, so they can't ask him because they don't even know him. We thank you, Father, that this morning that they'll come to you. Or maybe they're here today and at one time they knew Jesus, but they turned their back and they went away. And today they want to come home and publicly rededicate their life. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here this morning and you've never asked Jesus Christ to become Lord and Savior of your life, or have asked but you want to rededicate your life to God, I want you to lift your hand right now across the auditorium and we want to pray with you. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, there's a hand over there. Thank you. Anybody else? You say, I don't know Jesus. There's another hand over there. Thank you. Or maybe you once knew Jesus, but you forgot about him. Man, if that's you, make it right today. Make it right today. A couple people are already lifting another hand over there. Thank you. Had about three lift their hand. You know what? You're not the only one, so just go ahead and lift your hand up. Man, we want today for your life to change. Or maybe you're here and you say, Craig, I'm saved. I'm a child of God. But you guys talk about the infilling of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking with other tongues. And I never got that. I don't have that yet. And I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If that's you, lift your hand. We want to pray with you across the auditorium. There's another hand. Thank you. Hallelujah. Actually, let's all just stand up right now. And if you lifted your hand for prayer on any invitation or should have lifted your hand, I want you to come on down here. Just come down here. We want to pray with you. If you lifted your hand for prayer or didn't lift your hand but wanted to, just come on down here. And you're not the only one, so don't be embarrassed. Hallelujah. Surrender to thee, I will ever long and
in your presence.
How you doing?
Oh, I surrender all. Jesus, I surrender.
If you lifted your hand or didn't lift your hand, you want to come on down here. The altar is still open. I don't want anybody to miss out. Or if you're too embarrassed to come down here by yourself, ask the person next to you to come with you. And they'll come with you. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Here's a couple of books. And if I said I wanted to give them to you, how would you get them? You reach out and take them. We're going to have books for you guys too as well. You know, what you came for is our gifts. They're gifts. They've been given to you. You know, and every time I think about gifts, I think about Christmas. You guys like Christmas? You like Christmas? I like Christmas. You know, but I found out that, you know, it seems sometimes that at Christmas times, your parents almost torture you a little bit because you have this tree, they put gifts under the tree, and they put your name on it. Anyone ever had your name on a gift under the tree? Now, but you had to wait till it was Christmas Day or Christmas Eve before you opened it, even though your name was on it. But you know, that gift belonged to you, and sometimes you might even know what it was because you knew the shape of the box and stuff like that. You ever done that? I've done that. You know, but the gift belonged to you even when you couldn't use it. It still belonged to you. Even though you didn't open it, it still belonged to you because your name was on it. And I always say, well, to Craig from Mom and Dad. So it was mine. I just had to wait to open it. But you know what? Today is your Christmas day. The gift has been for you for a long time, and or maybe at one time you took the gift and you used it, but then you went away, and it's still there, and it's ready for you to open tonight or this morning. So I want you to do. I want you to lift one hand toward heaven. I don't care which hand it is. And I'm going to pray with you, Father God. We just thank you for these precious people. We thank you for their lives. We thank you, Father, that today you'll forgive them for their sins. We thank you, Father, that you'll set them free. We thank you, Father, that they'll have a know-so experience with you. We thank you, Father, for healing them, saving them, filling with the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father, for just touching their lives like never before. We thank you for it now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. I'm going to ask you to turn this way. See, this is Brother Greg. Just follow him a little. He's going to pray with you a little more. He's going to give you some material. Amen. Just follow him to that special place of prayer. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father.